in this chapter, Venerable Geshe-la, you know, gives the analogy. He talks about when a mother sees her child throwing a tantrum, she knows that the child is acting in a deluded way, but this does not diminish her love for him or her. Although she is not blind to the anger in her child, this does not lead her to the conclusion that the child is evil or intrinsically angry. Distinguishing between the delusion and the person, she continues to see her child as beautiful and full of potential. In the same way, we should regard all sentient beings as supremely precious, while clearly understanding that they are afflicted by the sickness of delusion. So we see this all the time, don't we? No, of course, sometimes children get very trying, and maybe during lockdown it's been very difficult. But still, generally speaking, even our child having a tantrum, like sometimes it's endearing. You know, when they do that hammering on the ground, and it's like, oh, like they're behaving like a little monster. But at the same time, we're seeing the angel of our heart. We're seeing someone that we would die for, that we cherish more than anything. And, you know, maybe they need to be put to bed, or maybe they need something, you know, but we don't condemn them. And we don't judge them on that moment. That's all they will ever be. That's their essence. So why do we persecute ourselves so much? Why do we judge ourselves on a slither of our behavior that isn't us in our right mind? Now, when we're under the influence of delusion, that's not really us. No, it's our mind malfunctioning. We can know that that's not really us because we can let go of those ways of being. Like, there's nothing we can do that will destroy our capacity for love. And some people have really, really tried, but there is nothing that can be done to destroy it. That's a fundamental part of our nature. It may get deeply, deeply, deeply hidden, but it can't be destroyed. Like Buddha made a point of showing that. You know, I mentioned serial killer, Angulimala. This is someone who killed 999 people. Now, he's gone to the darkest places of the heart, you know, tried to truly shut himself down and not feel anything for anyone. And yet, through the love and kindness Buddha showed him, Buddha could reach into his heart and reawaken that part of him that cannot die. Like, our fundamental goodness cannot be destroyed. Venerable Geshe-la describes this, I think, very, very beautifully. He says, Buddha compared our Buddha nature, this is our fundamental purity, we call it our Buddha nature, to a gold nugget in dirt. For no matter how disgusting a person's delusions may be, the real nature of their mind remains undefiled like pure gold. In the heart of even the cruelest and most degenerate person exists the potential for limitless love, compassion, and wisdom. Unlike the seeds of our delusions, which can be destroyed, this potential is utterly indestructible and is the pure essential nature of every living being. Whenever we meet other people, rather than focusing on their delusions, we should focus on the gold of their Buddha nature. This will not only enable us to regard them as special and unique, but also help to bring out their good qualities. Recognizing everyone as a future Buddha out of love and compassion, we will naturally help and encourage this potential to ripen. You know, whenever I hear this story, this explanation, I'm reminded of something that one of my first teachers, is a very kind person. He had many pets. They're all strays. They're all cats and dogs that he'd found that had been abandoned in various states of distress, and he'd taken them in. And one of them... George, I think the name was. This is a cat that he'd found. And he was on a walk one day and heard this sort of strange, weary mewling, this sort of sad, desperate, weak sound. And he was like, what is that? And he was sort of by a canal. And he found this sack. Someone had put a cat in a sack with some bricks, tied it up, thrown it, with the intention of drowning it, but I don't know whether they'd missed or whatever had happened. It was on the side and it hadn't died. It was, you know, pretty close to death. And actually, when he took it out, it clearly had been beaten to within an inch of its life before it was thrown in. And he thought, I have to take this home. I have to look after this cat. And he took it home and sort of dried it up and tried to feed it and try to wash out the wounds. And at the beginning, it was just so weak. It was just there. And he tried to get all of its injections and so forth, and as it started to come to, it became a little bit clearer what might have preceded this event with it getting thrown, because it was this sort of psychotic monster. Like, immediately when it had enough, kind of like, okay, I'm not dead, like lashing out, scratching and biting and tearing all the furniture and biting at all the people. You know, when the vet got it, the vet apparently said, there's only one injection I'm giving that cat. Cat was quickly hurried out of the vet. So this teacher came up with a strategy. He bandaged up his arm and held it there for the cat to bite and scratch and tear through the bandage, and then he pulled his arm away, get some more bandage, hold it. And this went on apparently for a really long time. Like, not like hours, not days, like weeks and weeks of and then eventually the clawing became sort of soft pawing, and the biting became sort of gentle nibbling, and George sort of offered up his tummy to be a little bit cuddled. Anyway, I like that story. It can be really misunderstood. Like, if you're in an abusive relationship thinking, I'm just going to stay here and get beaten and then they'll turn into a lovely person. Get out. Really what this is about, the reason for saying that story is, A, everyone has a good nature and it can be reached. And maybe we have been beaten down. Maybe we've had, you know, not thrown with a bunch of bricks into a canal, but maybe a bit broken down by life and the way things have happened and so forth, and what we've done, you know, possibly more than what people have done to us even. And it's quite easy to give up on ourselves. And the point of that story, you know, the cat ends up being this beautiful, loyal, happy, purring, contented creature. And so can we. Whatever space we've found ourselves in, we can get ourselves out of that, because the parts of ourselves that we are going to want to change, that's not us. That's like salt in the seawater. It's clouds in the sky. It's not our real nature. It's mud in water that can settle. Venerable Geshe says, we can recognize that our faults are really the faults of the delusions and not of ourselves. This prevents us from identifying with our faults and thus feeling guilty and inadequate. And it helps us to view our delusions in a realistic and practical way. We need to acknowledge our delusions and take responsibility for overcoming them. But to do this effectively, we need to distance ourselves from them. For example, we can think, self-cherishing is presently in my mind, but it is not me. I can destroy it without destroying myself. In this way, we can be utterly ruthless with our delusions, but kind and patient with ourselves. We do not need to blame ourselves for the many delusions we have inherited from our previous life. But if we wish for our future self to enjoy peace and happiness, it is our responsibility to remove these delusions from our mind. So we're not pretending that we don't have these malfunctions of the mind. We're not pretending that we don't have habits and tendencies. We're not pretending that there's nothing to change. But we're understanding those patterns are not an intrinsic part of who I am. They're not a reflection of my real nature. They're things that I can remove. You know, it's a little bit, it's like oil smeared on a mirror that distorts the reflection. Everything looks wrong in that mirror. But we're going to clean that off. We need to see, that needs cleaning. Like, we're going to change. That's what this whole course is about, how to change. We're going to change. But we're not identifying with the fault we're letting go of. We're realizing that isn't an intrinsic part of me. And because of making that distinction, we will be empowered and confident to change.